tell me. God will show me, and then we will see a miracle, we will see a healing, we will see a prayer answered, etc., etc., etc. So, is anybody interested in that? All right. Have you, has anybody yet, because there's a lot of veteran saints here that knows how important these kind of meetings are, revival meetings. Have you already been praying specific prayers? Raise your hand. I've already been praying. All right. So there's already prayers in the pipeline that God's going to answer. I am going to join you, and we're going to see what the Lord will do for you and for yours. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now let's stand and let's ask the Lord for something specific. You ask the Lord for something specific. Now, if it's like the person standing next to you, you might want to pray in your hands. But if you can pray that prayer and focus and say, God, during this series of services, are we going to have more than one? Yes, the jury said yes. Then these are opportunities that are set up by prayer. But you can't be general, because we're not going to be doing this for 6 months, I don't think. I don't think that's what we're going to do. That would be a long revival. But we want God, we want to take advantage of a man that don't know you, don't know how bad you are or how good you are. I just love everybody right now. See, I can't see if you're frowning or smiling because I have my glasses off. Take advantage of that. God, there's a man that don't know me, but I want you to use him to do this, this, and this. Why not ask? If you don't ask, you don't know if he'll do it or not. But I'm telling you, he'll do it. The Lord will do it. And I want each of you to be blessed. Not just the new folks that's coming in, and the new folks, we're going to help you too. But I love saints, and I love ministry. And my job from here on out is to be a blessing to the church where I am at. First to the pastor, then to the pastor's wife, and then to the saints of God, and then to whosoever will. That is the focus of my life from now until I can't do it anymore. Now raise your hands and talk to the Lord about what you want out of this revival. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord. I'm not going to pray with you. It's your prayer. It's not my prayer.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. I can tell you're a little uncomfortable. It might be something personal, so I get that. But I want you to take this to the Lord. And I want you to really pray about this. Let's experiment. Let's see if this works. I've only seen it work about 1,000 times. But I want you to know it. God has a place in his church, the church corporate, for the voice of the evangelist, for the voice of the guest speaker, somebody to come in that don't know a thing about what's going on except for what the Lord impresses on them to say and to do. Take advantage of that. See, when your pastor preaches and he hits you right between the eyes, boom, it's kind of diluted because you think, well, he knows that. He knows that about me. You shouldn't dilute it with that thought. You should say, you know, God put that in his mouth. God put that in his mind. I need to take that and take advantage of that. But because we're creatures that want the spectacular, you know. So when somebody comes that you don't know and they say, thus saith the Lord, and you've been praying this prayer request, are you getting what I'm saying? It has a punch to it. Okay, I'm not going to try to sell you on it. If you don't want it, I'm not going to do it for you. But the Lord inspired me to say that. I don't have to have no gimmicks and no gadgets. But if God cuts me loose in the gifts of the Spirit, we'll saw you all down. It don't take long. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Oh, I'm excited. Amen. And you're not. No, I'm not excited. No, I don't want to be excited. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me in the Word of God to a brand new sermon? The Lord gave me this just a week or so ago and told me to preach it, so I'm going to preach it today. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I'm also going to be reading from Matthew chapter 7. Look with me here into the Word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 25, and we will begin reading in verse 21. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Look at the reward here. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then in context with that, move backward to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21, the same verses that were in 25, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of God, the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I, this is Jesus speaking, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now that is a sobering passage of Scripture. And I want to preach today on the subject, the end of the matter. The end of the matter. Now pray that the Lord would help me to preach real good and you to hear real good and respond to the Spirit of the Lord, everybody together. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are asking for your anointing again. We never take that advantage of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you with all of our heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus' name. You may be seated. This is a beautiful pulpit. I like it. That it's very much better than the one you had. And it looks like Brother Paul Bowmeister. Solid. Dependable, not too flashy, just a good solid pulpit. Somebody really worked hard on this. Put the curve in there. Did somebody build it here in church? That's cool. Brother, I admire that talent. I built a wood box one time, and the men in my church came and looked at it and laughed for 30 minutes. And then they took it home with them. They said, "Brother Hurst, we cannot let you this know." So one of the men took it home and fixed it. It was really nice. So I can't do nothing but preach the gospel, but I pray through men, and then they do everything else. That's the way it's been for a long time. This is a work of craftsmanship. I like Brother Paul Bomeister. He's dependable. Amen. He's kind. He's kind. Amen. How many's ever had him say a kind word to you? How many's been chewed out? No. Because even when he chews you out, he's kind and respectful. He don't make you feel like a pollywog being stepped on. That's a good trait in a pastor. You can trust somebody. You can trust him. All right, now I got this sermon. Late election night. I stayed up late to watch the returns. And you know, I don't normally stay up late. The older I get, Sister Hurst and I, we like to go to bed earlier. And but I stayed up to like 2:30 before they finally called. What was it? Pennsylvania was the bellwether, and then the others started to come in. And I was a little reluctant to go to bed because 4 years ago, it looked like everything was okay, and then I woke up and all hell had broke loose. A red wave had ebbed and a blue wall had caused all kind of trouble. If your guy lost, tough. If my guy won, it's my turn to enjoy it. I put up with your mess, so now you got to put up with my mess. I don't usually talk politics. I know that President Trump is not perfect, and he has horrible hair. I cannot get over the fact that he's a billionaire and has a hair like that. That just doesn't work with me. It just, something's off. When you have billions of dollars and you have hair like that, you're weird. But we already know President Trump's weird. And he's going to do off-the-cuff things and all of that. So anyhow, so I was excited because I think, you know, his policies, blah, 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 blah. And I'm sick of woke, and I'm sick of all this Democratic other stuff, and I want the pendulum to swing. But more than likely, the Republicans will blow it because they're all sinners. And sinners do stupid things. But we're just hoping Elon Musk can raise the IQ a little bit. And a few other outsiders can tear down and fire. I think they just ought to go in with a paint gun and say, "Everybody I shoot, you're fired in Jesus' name." So I was excited. I was excited about a new change, maybe a turn back to more traditional American values than what we've been. And I was kind of excited and went to sleep about 2:30. The Lord woke me up at 4:30. And I don't normally wake up at 4:30, especially to talk to the Lord or the Lord to talk to me. But he did. And he said, "I know you're excited." And he said, "I know that there's a lot of people in America that's excited, and everybody's excited about these next 4 years and all of the things that are going to be done." He said, "But don't forget, this is not the end of the matter. This is just a period. This is just a time. This is not the most important thing." And then the Lord began to talk to me and gave me this message here that I am preaching to you today. There are only two ways out of this world. Only two. There's door number one and there's door number two. So the first one is you live and then you die. And when you die, everything you've done or haven't done is over. And now you are facing the end of the matter. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3 says this, "And if a tree shall fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be." Now, some say that what the reference is, that if the tree fall to the south, that is that you would fall in rebellion. Or if you would fall to the north, then you're falling, being right with God. But the fact of the matter is, whenever you, your life as a tree falls, and in what direction, so shall it lie. There's no getting back up. There's no do-overs. There's no second chance. Let's see if we can make that fall better. Let's see if we can fall in a more fortuitous, advantageous way. It's as the tree falleth, so shall it lie. When you die, that's why in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 4, it said, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope." As long as you're drawing breath, you can change your circumstances. As long as you are drawing breath, you can change your destiny in how you're going to be judged by God when you die. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then it says, "For a living dog is better than a dead lion." In other words, even if you are having a dog of a life, if you are alive, you still have the potential to do better. But if you're dead, even though you was a lion in life, it doesn't matter anymore, for you are now in a new arena. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. You are stepping now into the end of the matter. Everything that you have done, everything that you haven't done, is now neither here nor there, and you are facing end of the matter issues in life. Ladies and gentlemen, as we go through the minutiae of our life, we must take time to prioritize. Is that the right word? Come on, Bishop, get it right. Prioritize the issues of life that are eternal and those that are temporal. There are some things that are coming and they're going to pass. But when you get to the end of the matter, it is a totally different thing. Somebody say amen. Now, that's it. You're going to die. Most of us are going to die. We think we're going to be in the rapture of the church. But I want to tell you, my grandmother, who pastored for 37 years, thought she was going to be in the rapture of the church. And my father, who pastored 41 years, hoping for the rapture of the church, both of them have gone on through death. And they will be in the rapture, but they're going to be from the dead in Christ, which shall rise first. And we think, and we see the signs, and we see all the prophecies that could unfold within seconds, within minutes. All of the wars, the potential for war, and all of the things that could happen to Israel, and the lionizing of Israel like never before. They're sick of it. They're not going to take it anymore. They're going to push the envelope. They're not going to listen to Trump. They have got the bit in their mouth, and they are becoming more warlike than I've ever seen Israel become. And brother, Israel is important in God's timepiece in the earth. It does matter what Israel is doing and not doing. I wish you'd warm up your amen just a little bit here. Somebody say amen. And so we think we're going to be in the rapture of the church. I want to be in the rapture of the church. I would like for my body to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet. We shall be changed from mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruption. That's the other way out of this earth. That's the other way. It's either dying or the rapture. And when the rapture takes place, how you are is how you'll be judged. Right now. Boom, everything's frozen place because now you have moved from choice to no choice. Your choices now will cause you to receive your reward. Right now we could change. Now, if you're here and you haven't been baptized, you're way behind. You're way behind. You know how long it takes to get baptized? You got to go somewhere. You got to change clothes. You got to get in the water. You got to get a preacher to baptize you. It just takes time. You can't come down to the end of life and say, I need to get baptized. You need to get baptized now. Yes. Now. Yes. The Bible said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yes. You must get baptized. Yes. And you must receive the Holy Ghost. You need to receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost takes time. The Holy Ghost is weird. It's scary. It's a ghost. It's invisible. And we Pentecostals are weird at helping people get it. That's right. This guy's saying, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. And this brother's rubbing the back saying, let go, let go, let go. And your mouth is going, wah, 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 wah. And you're saying, man, I haven't felt like this since I got drunk. It's all kind of a weird machinations of feelings. And then you have to yield to it. You have to yield to it. That's why it's harder for men to get the Holy Ghost than women, because women are used to yielding. God made women. Don't get mad at me and shave your head. God made women to be receptive. God made women to receive. God made women to yield. But men, it takes time for men to get the Holy Ghost because they've got to yield. You can't man up and get the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean you become a sissy. But you have to yield your heart and you have to yield your spirit and you have to yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. And that takes a couple. That takes a couple trips to the altar. Especially if you got the baptism of a repentance on you. And you just, oh God, I'm sick and tired of myself. And I'm ashamed of what I've done. But you need to be. And you got to move past repentance and move to faith and receive the baptism. I'm telling you, if you're not baptized, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to get that done. You need to get that under your belt. You need to get that stamped on your heart. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, I believe in deathbed repentance. I do. Pastoring 40 years, I've seen tragic things and people die sudden deaths, backsliders die sudden deaths, collisions and all kind of horrible things. And if they've been baptized, and they've been filled with the Holy Ghost, I comfort the family and I say, listen, if they had time to say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, take me back. I believe they're ready to meet the Lord. Well, I don't know about that. Well, I'm glad you're not God. And if I'm wrong, I want to wrong on the on the side of grace, and I want to be wrong on the side of mercy. Some people make living for God so hard and so exacting and so punishable, like God really don't like you. We're just really putting up with you, but you're genuinely ignorant. God don't do that. He loves you. He died for you. He rose again for you. He gave his all for you because he really loves you. And he wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, raise your hands and thank him for it. Oh, God, you're such a good Lord. You're such a good Lord. Hallelujah. And yet when we look into the coming of the Lord, like in the teachings of the Lord when he said to the wise virgins, he said there were five wise, there were five foolish. And the five wise, when the bridegroom came, they had their lamps filled with oil and their lamps were trimmed and burning. As if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you need to get full of the Holy Ghost right now. Right now, we need to be moving in the right direction. Wherever you are in living for God, in sloughing off the things of the world and taking on the things of God, be sure your face is not turned from grace and back to the world. Be sure you're walking in grace and you're moving forward. Don't fool yourself into thinking you're moving forward when you're backsliding. Move forward, for as the tree falls, so shall it lie. Because we move from this, I'm in, I'm out, I'm up, I'm down, I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm lukewarm, I'm out, and all of a sudden, bang! We're not in that no more. There is no switching. There is no repenting. There is no let's reconsider. It's the end of the matter. And when that happens, your next event is Romans, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all, everybody say all, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be to the south or to the north, whether it be good, whether I paid my tithes or I kept them, whether I treated my wife and family right or I was hateful. Once you cross that threshold, either the rapture of the church, which hadn't happened yet. Somebody said, don't you believe it's going to happen? Yeah, but one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And at any time, he can mess it up the way he wants to. If he says, okay, today's, I'm going to count it 24, and the next day he said, I'm going to count it as 1,000 years. It's his. He made it. He made time. I just exist in it. And I'm not allotted very many years. So when I made up my mind to live for God, I said it like this. I'm going to live for God until I die. And I said that at 15 years old. I had enough sense at 15 to say, you can't get in this with one foot and at work. You can't get in this and hang around the periphery and say, well, if the devil has a better offer, you know, God and the devil, you can bargain for me. No, I'm not playing that game. I'm either in or out. And I'm in. and I'm going to live for God for the rest of my life. And I laid my life on the altar at 15 years old, and I prayed and I cried and I snotted and I moaned and I groaned and I repented, and then I raised my hands and I received the Holy Ghost, and it has kept me my entire life. You can. Somebody said, well, that sounds like you. That's you doing it. That's not the grace of God. Oh, trust me. I need the grace of God. I need the grace of God. But I don't have to sin habitually to use the grace of God. When you make up, all right, somebody's been praying, point in case. Somebody's been praying, how can I live for God steadily? Here it is. Here's your answer. You make up your mind. I'm going to live for God from this revival forward. I'm never going to backslide. I'm never going to quit. I'm never going to stop trying. If I get knocked down, I'm going to get back up. If I fail God, I'm going to go back to the altar. I'm going to repent. I'm going to learn from my mistakes, and I'm not going to repeat them. I am going to become a saint that can be counted on. I'm going to become a man that the pastor can depend on. I'm going to become a father that my kids can be proud of. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to be clapping your hands right now and saying, that's for me. I take that to my bank. We must all appear. Well, I thought if we were in the rapture of the church, we made it. Well, there's a scripture here. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, how long is that line going to be? How long is that time going to be? Well, it don't matter. There's no time. Who are you? I'm Napoleon. You step over there. You got problems. Who are you? Well, I'm Julius Caesar. Oh, okay, I don't want to stand beside you either. I don't want to get in the wrong crowd. When you're standing at the white throne judgment, you need to look around, and you need to see if you're with the goats or with the sheep. Because that's in the book. He says to the goats, you stand on my left. And he says to the sheep, you stand on my right. If you're standing in the crowd of sinners, your sins have not gone before you. Turn around. They're following you to judgment. You've got to get your sins under. I'm really trying to help somebody. You've got to get your sin. I don't care what you've done, but you got to get it under the blood before the judgment seat. If you don't get your sins under his blood, they're on your trail, and they're going to be part of your judgment package. Sin shall never enter into heaven. You're going to get so close to heaven. There is heaven, right there, right there. Here's the judgment seat of Christ. If he gives me the green light, I get to go to the New Jerusalem. I get to go to heaven. But if there's a sin that I haven't taken care of, and it's so easy to repent, it's so easy to say, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. That's sins of the mind and sins of the spirit. But if you sin in the flesh and you speak it, then you got to go to that person and ask for forgiveness. Sorry, I'm an idiot. Please forgive me. Well, I tell you what. No, that don't work. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's easy to apologize when you realize your apology saves or damns you. Because God won't forgive. Oh, I am in it right now. I am in it right now. There's a feud going on between some of you. And you say, she started it and she said this and he did that. That don't matter. That don't matter. You cannot be forgiven if you do not forgive those who have trespassed against you. And if you don't make that right. Now, I want Matthew 25. That's what I want. That's what I'm working for right now. After 48 years of doing this, that's what I'm looking for right there. That's what I started looking for 48 years ago. And I'm still looking for it. These words, well done. Well done. Well, why can't it be more superlative than that? God, you can say what you want to say. Just let me in. Well done. Because come on, if the righteous scarcely be saved, we're only being saved by the grace of God. Come on, don't get so sold on your righteousness that it turns to, oh, I'm preaching right now, that it turns to self-righteousness and becomes a stinking rags in the nostrils of God. Well done. Thou good and faithful. Faithful. Two times in this pronouncement, faithfulness is mentioned. That means it is to be highlighted above all of the things that the Lord is looking for at the end of the matter. Are you faithful? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. It ain't hard to live for God. It ain't hard. I gave up cigarettes. That's okay. I can give up cigarettes to go to heaven. I gave up whiskey. That's okay. I can give up that. I gave up some friends that didn't want to live for God. I don't want somebody in my ear talking to me about going another way. I'm going this way. I want to run with this crowd. I want to walk with these people. I don't want somebody talking about my pastor. That's the shepherd of my soul. I don't want anybody putting anything on my mind about him other than that is the man of God, and I need to pray for him because he is fighting for my soul. I want to be faithful. I want to ask you a question. Are you faithful? Yes or no? Don't start making excuses. I'm just asking you flat out. This is for you. I'm not judging you. I'm just asking you, are you faithful? Would God consider you faithful? If you're not faithful, he's not going to say you're faithful. God's not a liar. And God's not a flatterer. Well done. I feel the Holy Ghost. Raise your hands and pray right now. Lord, help me to be faithful. Lord, help me to be faithful. God, if I am not faithful, help me to start today. Help me to start today to be faithful. Somebody's already slipping into intercessory prayer. There's a burden in the building. There's a burden in the souls of people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be faithful in a few things. Be faithful in a few things. Didn't say lot. Didn't say a lot. Just a few things. Oh, if I live for God, I have to do this and this. Oh, shut up. Whatever you have to give up to make it to heaven. And just remember, I'm telling you the truth. But there's guys out there that will lie to you and tell you, oh, you can do this and you can do that and you can, nah, don't worry about that. That's not, it's in the book. Oh, that's not what that means. You better be careful who you're listening to. In fact, as you are listening to me right now, there is a ring that is hitting your heart. And you're going, this guy's telling me the truth. I don't like it, but he's telling me the truth. You don't have to give up much to live for God. But anything he wants, he gets. Because I want to be hearing those words. Well done, thou good and faithful. Listen to this. Servant. Only servants make it. I looked on there when I become bishop. It doesn't say, well done, thou good and faithful bishop. It don't say, well done, thou good and faithful pastor. Or, well done, thou good and faithful assistant pastor. Or, well done, thou good and faithful usher. Or, well done, thou good and faithful guitar player. It's only one word. Servant. Are you a servant? Are you serving God? Are you serving your brethren? Are you serving the cause of Christ in Lodi? Are you just a taker? Or do you give in service? Only servants will make it at the judgment. Raise your hand and say, God, help me to have the heart of a servant. Help me to have the heart of a servant. Help me to quit being so arrogant and judgmental, looking down at people, laughing at people. Help me to have the heart of a humble servant, because that is where I'm going to make it. Somebody pray it right now. Boy, the Holy Ghost may not let me finish. We're talking about things that are at the end of the matter. There's more about this. Maybe I'll preach about this at another time. Thou hast been faithful over a few, I will make thee ruler over many. What's that all about? I don't know, but it's going to be good. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. What is so cool that it is the joy of the Lord? Enter thou into. I think he did a pretty good job making the earth, and he never called it the joy of the Lord. He just said it was good. Right? But what he's got prepared for those that love him and are judged worthy by his grace and his mercy, he calls it the joy of the Lord. Look, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the imagination of man, the things that God, but I got a pretty good imagination. And while some of you are dabbling around in the filth of the world, I'm having daydreams about heavenly things. I almost did that country song and it messed them up. Daydreams about night things in the middle of the afternoon. I shouldn't have said that, because we're so human. Everybody said, what's he laughing about? Look it up. No, don't look it up. It's not a good song. We're so limited. We're so limited as human beings. But anyhow, God made it, so praise the Lord. But what has God got in store when we become immortals? Oh, see, I don't have time. I don't have time. So I got to do this other thing here. The other thing, the other end of the matter. Now, Lord, I've cast out devils in your name. I've done many mighty works in your name. There's going to be a lot of talking. God, we did this. We painted all these buildings. We fixed up this church. Lord, I paid tithes. I gave offerings. I gave to missions. But if you fall pointing the wrong direction, This is the coldest words in the Bible. I never knew you. You talk about cut and dried. You talk about cold to the bone. You get here in that shape. Paul said it. Paul got a touch of that. And it's hard for us pastors because we want everybody to be saved. We want everybody to be saved. But Paul said, they came in and they left because they were not of us. For if they were of us, they would not have went out from us. The Lord's going to look at people that he died for, that he shed his blood for, and he's going to look you right in the eye and say, I never knew you. I don't know who you are. Neither do I want to know who you are. Depart from me. Today, the Lord's like, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But at the end of the matter. At the end of the matter. He will say, depart from me, ye that work lawlessness. You couldn't line up to the standards. You couldn't line up to the standards of mercy and grace. You're full of lawlessness. You worker of iniquity. You got it. I see it. I see it in your spirit. Iniquity. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. No preacher's going to tell me what to do. That may be true. But you're going to get to the end of the matter. And there won't be no preacher. There won't be no man to pray for you. Lord, touch their heart. There won't be no evangelist come by and say, if you'll get serious, I'll get serious. And we can see what the Lord will do. It's all cut and dried. For it is now the end of the matter. In Matthew 25, go down to verse 30. When the servant that did not make a profit was given a talent and buried it. And he said, Lord, I knew you was a hard master, and I was afraid, and I didn't want to do wrong, so I buried it. The Lord didn't say, oh, bless your heart. You could probably say just about everything to your pastor right now and say, oh, bless your heart. We'll pray. The Lord will help you. But not that day. The Lord looked at that man that buried that talent, and he said, you are an unprofitable servant. Take this unprofitable servant and cast him into outer darkness. Are you profitable to Jesus? Or are you unprofitable? Because that matters when you get to the end of the matter. Look at Matthew 25, 41. Depart from me, ye that are cursed. God's a God of love. He's a God of cursing too. Into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8 says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. In the NIV, it says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. The end of a matter. You live for God, it's going to be better in the beginning. But if you don't live for God, it won't be better. It will be much, much worse. Ladies and gentlemen, the end of the matter. Would somebody like to pray? Would somebody like to come to the altar and say, it's not over yet, and I'm going to take advantage? Anybody? Here comes a good man. He was worshiping God with all of his heart, yet here he comes. People with honest hearts going to make the trip. Oh, I don't want people. No, it don't matter, because right now I can change things. Right now I can repent. I can get my heart right with God. Right now God is open and merciful. Church, let's stand. Let's pray. Let's turn this into a prayer meeting for whosoever will. I hope that you all come and get ready for the coming of the Lord, especially if you haven't been baptized and received the Holy Ghost. Time is running out. Come on, let's get right with God. Musicians, come. Let's create an atmosphere of faith and praise. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. You can get saved today. You can get right with God today. It's here in this altar. You can change things. You can get right with God. It's time to do it. We got the time today.